Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Weekend Water Cooler. I'm your host, Jean Bolduc, and I have with me my three amigos. Okay, that's what I'm calling you from now on. They are three leading troublemakers in the community, Jackie Helvey, Marcella Slade, and I swear to God I'm going to pronounce this correctly, Daria Barazande.
Very nice.
I did it. Hey, do I get a prize or something?
Bravo.
Here,
wow.
Have some water.
A rubber suit.
Wow. AP Radio Awards, just stand by. I'll be right over to pick up my trophy. Okay, so from now on, they are Jackie, Marcella, and Daria. That's what I'm going to say. And they are here today to talk about something everybody cares about. Boy, oh boy, do we. Yeah, water. Fresh water, clean water, and safe water. And Daria has brought to our attention some issues. You've probably seen her commentary on the radio station's website, because I know everyone, you know, checks that website every day, as I do. And she has written pretty extensively about the dangers of fluoride in the water, and I think everybody in Chapel Hill had their consciousness about this issue raised this past February when too much fluoride was added to the water, and for the sake of everyone's safety, WASA had to stop everyone from using water for a period of time until that could be treated and corrected. And so that's where this came on the radar for me. Even though I have a well at my house, I, you know, shop, eat, and do other things in Chapel Hill, where pretty much the town and the university, and I guess fortunately not the hospital, was effectively shut down for the weekend, which costs this community plenty in business activity and economic activity. Mm-hmm. So let me start with Marcella and ask you, Marcella Slade, with probably we've agreed the coolest name of everybody in the room,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
Because we're pretty sure she's actually a superhero. tell me how you got involved in this and what your activities have been.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here today. Well, I am a local. I was living abroad for 16 years and just moved back into the country. I'm a mother of two children. Mm-hmm. I'm an artist designer who is an advocate of love and culture. Mm-hmm. And so,
how old are the kids? This is important to me.
6 and today 14.
Oh my!
Leonardo's birthday today.
That's impossible.
No.
How could you have a 14-year-old?
Very funny. Anyway, so one goes to Carver Elementary and the other one goes to McDougal.
Okay.
And the whole reason, well, one of the things that I was very excited about moving back into the country was water fountains.
Right.
We don't have those in Ecuador, South America, or Spain, although Spain does have fountains, like
really?
In the center of...
They have, like, display fountains, but not drinking fountains.
No, they used to be potable.
Really?
Now okay. They're not, unfortunately, because there's not enough water.
Wow.
So, interestingly enough.
Uh-huh.
When we got here, my children went to, you know, the public school system, and then there were the water fountains, and they loved it, and they were like, you know, they had heard so much about it. And then February 2nd came, and
boom.
It's unsafe to drink the water.
All of a sudden.
All of a sudden, tons of the kids in my kindergartner's class were sick, and inclusive my child,
really?
Very sick. And we even got an email. I sent an email out saying, please be careful with your children. You know, they're contaging other children. And there was pink eye. There was cough, wheezing. I mean, a fever. It was diarrhea. So I sent out an email. And then we got an email also from the school saying the day that we got dismissed from school because
right.
we had no water. To please take care of your children, there were tons of children sick, and that we should address it as...
And this was all reported, I assume, through everyone's physicians and whatnot, and up through the health department and so forth.
Yes. So, when I got the first alert of the water, you know, it's unsafe, it's still safe to drink, I was like, oh my God, something's wrong. Something's not safe. So I told my sister, and then we got all these superintendent and OWASA warnings and stuff, and then I heard about them, and I heard about that we had a possibility of asking OWASA to look into this matter and through the town, you know. And I was like, well, let's do it. And I'm here. And as a parent, civil person of this town.
Right.
I want the water to be examined and this whole process to be looked at
again.
Should
be reviewed, right.
Yeah, it's not a positive thing. I've heard it's not good for us. You know, it creates cancer and other problems like low IQs and but I have no idea. I mean, not that I don't have any idea about the subject, but the scientific stuff is out there. We can all read about it. We have been posting several things on Facebook trying to get to the bottom of this and see if they'll change
it. Now, has the water been tested at the schools specifically again since all this was resolved?
I'm not sure. And it would be interesting to test right now because it's not with fluoride. It starts in September again. They haven't reintroduced it because they're going to spend how much money on the fixing of
$300,000?
Yeah, like $250,000 to fix the wells so that there's a better security measure.
I think it's a new pump that they want to put in.
Right. Okay. So they have not reintroduced the fluoride since that incident occurred.
No.
Well, that's very interesting, and that shed some light on why you're becoming more active about it, because I assume that you want to block them from reintroducing it. So, Jackie, let's move on to you and tell me how you came to this.
Well, you know, I've lived here for 38 years, and I'd like to point out that it wasn't just Chapel Hill. It was all of Orange County that was affected by this water. We were affected by it in Carrboro. My partner, who moved here about 2 years ago, as soon as he moved here, refused to drink the water. Mm-hmm. He went on the he asked me about the water. We got great water. We've got award-winning water in Carrboro. Well, he went on the Owosso website and he said, "I'm sorry, but putting poison in your water is not award-winning water, and I'm not going to drink this water." So he he always has purchased bottled water as long as he's been here. And I just, I was sort of defiant, and I said, yeah, right.
Hey, wait a minute. That's my water.
Owosso would not do that to us. Yeah. I trust my friends, the people I know, the people in my community, my elected officials. I know these people. Right. I've lived here for a long time. I've been a community activist. Right. They wouldn't do this to us.
Right.
They wouldn't do it.
Right.
Well, yeah, they would.
Do you think that they're knowingly doing something
That's
that they should not be
I
doing?
I wonder about. And the thing that bothers me the most as a community activist with all these people that I know, political connections, media connections, when I reached out to those people, I was stunned by the lack of response. It's like people fear speaking out against this. And that concerns me. I admire all of the elected officials around here. I rely on them to do the right thing.
Right.
What if Owosso is getting it wrong?
Right.
And there isn't a what if. They are getting it wrong.
Right.
You know, I watched a movie this morning called Fluoride Gate by Dr. David Kennedy. It was made in 2013. If you go to YouTube and search for Fluoride Gate.
Isn't YouTube an amazing tool, by the way?
It is. And I want to tell you, when I told these guys, when I was done watching that movie, I was reeling. I could not believe the facts behind this. This isn't just people spouting off opinions. This is scientists talking about the dangers of fluoride.
Right.
And I really think that everybody should watch this movie because there's so much misinformation out there.
Right.
We need to change this policy. They call it a policy. The policy is endangering all of us with every drink of fluoridated water that we take.
Right. And the policy you're referring to is the policy of adding fluoride to the drinking water that comes to customers who are directly Owosso customers. And I think you're pointing out also other municipalities that buy water from Owosso, which could be Hillsborough and probably Durham as well, right?
Yes.
Is there any other municipality that buys from Owosso? Because I know that just, they exchange these things
water,
back and forth.
So it's Orange County.
So it's only Orange County?
Now, I don't know who's buying the water.
So.
But boy, they need to get
Because I thought that there was something between between Orange and Durham. But
well, they have an agreement that in the event of a disaster like what happened on February 2nd,
yeah. right.
that they'll cover each other's backs.
Right.
So
right.
As Durham did.
What happened.
Durham
which
did,
is what Durham did. Right.
did.
Right.
Right. But I don't know. I don't think we supply it. But anyone who ever eats or drinks, you know, dines in Chapel Hill
right.
or Carrboro.
That's right.
Going
They're
to
getting tap water that's
right.
coming from Owosso. So, Daria, right. tell me how you came to this.
Well, so I started looking into this in 2012 when I opened an email that said something about fluoride being in water around the country. And I thought, well, certainly that's and the dangers of that. And I thought, well, certainly there's no way that that's in my water because I think of Carrboro and Chapel Hill as being sort of like a health-oriented community,
right?
Very open and progressive to new ways
right.
of thinking and
right.
not doing things the way that would seem wrong to
yeah.
me. I naively thought this. So I immediately picked up the phone and called Owosso. Again, very naive. And I just asked the question, hey, I'm an Owosso customer. I was just wondering, do you put fluoride in the water? And I heard, yes, we absolutely do. And I said, oh, no, I need to show you guys this article. You know, like shed the light on this because you're not going to believe what
and,
I just
And when
heard.
Was this? When was this?
This was in 2012.
In 2012, okay.
Yes, I think the spring of 2012. And so I said, well, what can I do? How can I get this information to the board? And they said, well, you need to petition the board. And so they told me when the next meeting was. I started reading a book called The Case Against Fluoride by mm-hmm. Dr. Paul Connett, which was really eye-opening. And I went to the meeting prepared. I spoke before the board for, I think, about 20 minutes. This is before they instituted a four-minute max mm-hmm. for public commentary.
So that's your fault.
I was. I think so. I asked them. I said, "Do I have a limit?" And they said, "No."
Okay.
Now that is very telling right there. I think
that's really
well. You know that sometimes boards do that when they have issues that
they don't want to confront.
Well, that are building in such controversy mm-hmm. that then the public comment, I'm going to defend them a little bit about that they want to make sure that the public comment period doesn't overtake the entirety of the meeting.
Right.
That doesn't mean that it's okay for them to ignore an issue. It means
right.
that the public comment period is probably not the best avenue for doing that. And eventually items like that, if they're that important and there's that much material, need to get on the agenda to have real discussion.
Right.
Because, you know, the public comment period for any board is when anybody from the public can come and tell the board anything they want, including
sure.
their favorite chocolate chip recipe
yes.
for chocolate chip cookies, which, by the way, we're going to talk about recipes in just a minute, Jackie. I haven't forgotten. We're going to – I apologize for interrupting. We're going to have to take a break for just a moment and step away. And when we come back, Daria is going to launch into how she got into all this. You're listening to The Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 FM WCHL, The Hill. Okay, welcome back, everyone. We're here at The Weekend Water Cooler with Daria, Jackie, and Marcella, and I'm reminded of Charlie's Angels being three. I'm just saying. Okay, we're talking about water. We're talking about H2O and something that everybody needs. Here's what I think you need, by the way, girls. I think you need Matt Damon. I think you need Matt Damon t-shirts. I think you need a little celebrity power, you know, little man hunk to pal around with.
Okay.
Would that be so wrong?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Well,
right.
You can't always get Leo.
He's not always
sometimes available. Sometimes he's you know,
true.
Off in the hinterlands growing a beard, trying to get an Oscar, and he's just not available. You know how he can be. Very temperamental. I hated that movie, by the way.
Which one?
The Revenant. What a rotten movie.
Oh,
I'm sorry. It didn't do a thing for me. Mm-hmm. I got through the whole movie, and at the end, I said, seriously? This is 2 hours I'm never getting back. That's exactly how I felt about it. Just Wow, I'm glad he got his Oscar. Good for you. Just go out and look like you've roughed it for a couple of years, and I'll give you one, I guess. Anyway, but he had water, didn't he? Okay, he was out there in the wild, wherever that was. Where in the world did they film that? Who knows? Chatham County or something. So, Daria, pick up where you left off with your story, and so you called Owosa, spoke to whoever answered the phone, and found this out, and you have basically started from there on your path to trying to get Owosa to look at this and change its policy about adding fluoride.
Right. So they told me I could come and petition the board.
Right.
And I asked for the parameters. They said, oh, you can just speak however long you want.
Right.
And that made me nervous because I wanted to know, are they expecting me to talk for an hour? Like I'm the spotlight is on me, or is it just like a quick brief summary?
And they let you go for 20 minutes, and thereafter they restricted public comment.
Yes, they did.
We're going to give out your email address at the end of the program so everybody knows who to thank for that restriction. Yes.
But I just was allowed to, they didn't stop me. I just emptied my.
Well, good for them, by the way. I mean, I'm glad that they didn't say, oh, this is going to be controversial.
Right.
That's the end of it for you.
No, they were actually very, very kind and gracious and listened and asked questions. It was definitely a conversation.
So they did. This is interesting to me because often during public comment, they'll let you say anything you want, but they're not going to engage in a conversation with you about it.
Which is the case now.
But which is the case. So they've gotten more restrictive about that. They've come therefore into the guidelines from the School of Government about managing public comment and avoiding being drawn into protracted conversations with citizens when they're not prepared with background materials and all that. It can be a problem. So I kind of understand their point of view about that. But it's interesting, and they were interested, and they asked, I guess, intelligent questions.
I received emails from several board members
following up,
asking me detailed questions, what I knew.
Okay.
Suddenly, I was on the spot to answer questions about scientific matters that I have no background.
Okay, as an ordinary person who reads things, yes.
Right, an ordinary person who reads things. So I did my research and I got back to them and said,
which everybody else can do, folks who are listening.
Exactly.
Water cooler fans. If you're a water cooler fan, you probably first are a fan of water.
Right.
Right?
Totally.
Right. Okay.
They were very gracious. However, after that first meeting, it was interesting that one of the board members came. I mean, we had like social hour afterwards where we were mingling and talking. It was very friendly.
Wow. So, what a party.
So they, it was a party.
And how things have changed.
How things have changed. So they were very friendly, shook my hand, thanked me. But one of them said, who I won't name, he looked at me and he said, are you a Republican?
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, what? And
listen,
I just laughed and
there's
said,
no need to get rough, fella.
Yeah, that was
pretty
intense. That was intense.
Man.
I said, what do you mean?
And you said, are you a bigot?
Well,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was just really, it caught me off guard because
I guess
to me, this is about having
water.
Clean water.
Yeah.
I don't know what it has to do with any politics. So I, after I laughed at him, and was sort of taken aback, I said, actually, I'm not anything. I'm independent, and I make up my own mind, and I read and investigate. And
imagine.
You know, so anyway, so that was that. And he said, you know, I have to be honest and tell you that when I first saw this on the agenda, that my first thought was about this film from long ago that I'm forgetting the name of right now.
Okay.
Where
it'll come back to you.
Referencing,
it'll come back to you during the break.
Where they were referencing fluoride and how it was like the root of all evil and that sort of thing. And he says, but you know, now that you've shared this and we're hearing more about the subject matter seriously, this is really worth looking into and thinking about. So that same board member was the one to finally completely crush my spirit and stomp the whole thing out like an old cigarette.
Oh, jeez.
So it didn't end the way that it began, unfortunately.
We're not sending him a Christmas card.
No. But what ended up happening is there was a lot of back and forth with the board in person, by email. I requested to know where we get our fluoride from, because one of the things I had read, a lot of people like to say fluoride is naturally occurring, but I had read that that's not what we put in our water, something mm-hmm. that's just kind of naturally springing from the rocks, you know?
Yeah, like arsenic.
Something healthy. It's like
which
arsenic.
Also occurs naturally.
Yes,
and is in exactly. is in drinking water.
Right.
But fluoride doesn't.
At naturally occurring, safe, on non-toxic levels.
Right, right, yes. And so. In some parts of the world, fluoride is in the water at unsafe levels, and lots of studies have shown
right.
that it's killed people. I mean, it's yeah, really
but not
terrible.
From the quarry in Carrboro.
But not now.
No. Mm-hmm.
So at this one meeting, I heard them, they called forward the man who oversees the chemicals that are added to our water, and he said, no, it's not this compound called hydrofluorosilicic acid.
Easy for you to say.
Right.
He said it wasn't that?
He said it was not. And so I sent an email following the meeting requesting to know as a citizen
sure.
what is it that we're putting in our water and where is it coming from.
Right.
At that meeting, he said it's local, as if it was something that you can pick up from Weaver Street Market that's nutritional.
I've never seen that display at the checkout at Weaver
like
Street.
Like my vitamins.
No, like right. vitamins. Like yes,
right,
vitamins.
Right.
So it was
terrific.
Like, it's local, it's organic, you know,
it's organic.
Like good for you. Mm. So I sent him an email. He responded with one line saying it is hydrofluorosilicic acid and it is sourced from Key Chemical in a small town in North Carolina.
So
small that it
yeah.
doesn't have
well,
a name.
I don't know that he lied necessarily so much as he just spoke without really knowing what he's talking about. I don't know.
Well,
it was like a joke, and then he was like, wait.
Ultimately, it was a lie.
Well, he thought it was. He thought that local meant that it came from our state.
Yeah.
No.
Well, he
you
was
know.
Telling the truth in that respect, but he
right.
lied about what it was,
what it was
that they're putting
right.
into the
he
water.
He said it was natural.
Yeah, I was trying to gloss over that part.
Fluoride.
Right.
I don't go for the gloss.
So. No.
Sorry.
So after that, that was interesting. So I continued pressing forward, and as I moved along, more people started showing up to the meetings, but I didn't have any. I wasn't reaching out to the community. I didn't know how. I just was continuing my dialogue, foolishly thinking that as
just thinking that as you ask these questions and these people would be answering them and
right.
they would arrive at a similar conclusion that you had, that maybe this is
right.
not a good idea.
Right. And then, yay, we all work together like a wonderful community
yeah.
and solve this problem.
And turn off the spigot. That's all they have to do.
How yeah. easy would that be, right?
It's a turn of a knob.
Right.
It's the turn of a knob.
Mm-hmm.
Or just not turning on the knob in the first place mm-hmm. right now.
Okay. Well, so. Well, at the turn of the knob, this sounds like the wrong thing to say somehow. I'm gonna have us take a break, and when we come back, we're going to dive into kind of where the action is next. This is just getting fascinating for me. It's so interesting compared to the national mm-hmm. political picture about, you know, we like to think of our community as being utterly separate from that, but I guess everybody's vulnerable to these things. Mm-hmm. So we'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away. You're listening to 97.9 WCHL, The Hill. Welcome back to the water cooler. Dari is just going to finish up a couple of points that she wanted to make, and then we're going to forge ahead. Go ahead.
So I continued the dialogue with OWASA. It was very friendly. And then we got to the point where I said, I'd really like to bring in an expert.
Mm-hmm.
And the expert that I knew of most readily was Dr. Paul Connett, who wrote the book, as I mentioned,
mm-hmm.
The Case Against Fluoride. And he has dedicated his life to this. He's a retired chemist and very knowledgeable, really amazing, on point about the subject. And I had asked if they could bring him in.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no, we don't have the funds for that. And he doesn't require to be paid. He's doing this as a volunteer
right.
for the betterment of the world. And he travels all over the world to speak to communities about
wow.
this. So I had contacted him, and he had graciously responded and said he would do it. And they said, no, we're not going to pay for his hotel or his airfare. So short of being able to do that, I suggested that we Skype him in. And the town hall building is this very nice, beautiful building, and looks like they have the technology to do such
in
things.
Chapel Hill.
Yes.
Yeah.
And once a month they have their meetings there.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we don't have the technology, the capability to Skype someone in.
And this was in 1971? When was this?
This is crazy.
At this point, it might have been 2013.
Okay.
Can I point out that's another lie?
Yes. Well, I will.
I was going to say, and sadly, they didn't think to contract with a seventh grader who could have helped them out.
That's right.
On the technical support.
That's right.
Because
what happened was,
That can't be true.
It wasn't. Yeah. Because what happened was, as I exited, this woman comes running after me in the lobby and said, "They're lying to you." And I said, "What?" And she said, "I'm the AV person here."
Oh, Jesus.
And she said, "Don't tell anybody I told you this." We're saying this on the radio.
On the radio.
She doesn't work there anymore. But
I'll lose my job.
But she said, "They are totally BSing you because they want to get rid of you now." She said, "I've been watching you come in here and speak.
Okay.
And I'm totally in agreement with you. But they don't want to hear about it anymore, and they're trying to get rid of you." She said, "We Skype people in here all the time."
Oh, my God.
So you know, I was blown away.
Why do people do that?
My friends.
No.
Engage in baloney like that?
How do you think he won't get caught in the lie?
Honestly, about a thing like this. Oh, my goodness.
Didn't see that there was an army behind me or anything. There wasn't.
Yeah, well, there wasn't at the time.
There is now. So then I started feeling really upset because that's when everything turned for me. And I was like, wait a minute. We're not engaged in this courtship anymore.
Yeah. You need people to act in good faith. And that's not what you were getting at that point.
That wasn't cool.
Yeah.
So I showed up again and I asked if they would read the book as I have read the book. Since they claim to be open, they claim to want to know what the latest information is. Would they read the book? And they said, "Sure, but we're not going to buy it." So I bought a copy for them, and I handed them out at the next meeting. I gave each one of them a copy and implored with them that they please read it, just so they have the information, so that when they make their decision, they're actually, you know, they've actually looked into it for real.
God, if only Chapel Hill had a library, you know?
Right.
No kidding.
So I handed it out. They didn't know what to do with me, I think, and they decided to hold a debate.
Well, you're so reasonable.
In May of, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, this is the problem.
Yeah.
From their point of view, you're just continuing to be
the truth.
You're continuing to be reasonable.
Well, in 2013, what they did in May of 2013, they staged a debate that they said would be a fair look at the subject, where they would have one person who was pro-fluoride and one person who was anti-fluoride.
Okay.
Well, not fluoride, but fluoridation, water fluoridation.
Right, right.
So they said no one from the public was allowed to speak or ask any questions or have anything to do with it.
Right.
That the board members could interact with these two people.
Well, I'm not offended by that format. I think you can understand the logistics of that.
As long as you have a pro and against.
A balanced, Yeah.
Right. So
if it's that,
they said we could listen.
Yeah.
We could listen.
That's decent.
So
yeah.
I was there and I listened, and it was infuriating. It was at that meeting that I actually could almost hear my blood boiling. And, you know, I had really suspended judgment. I didn't want to go on the attack, accuse anybody of lying or this and that. I really had reserved judgment until that point. But they had a woman there who was from the dental school. And so she was in support of the water fluoridation, of course. And then they had this other man who was supposedly not in favor of fluoride. He said nothing to dispute putting fluoride in the water. He claimed to not really know anything about it. He claimed to not really have any real solid opinion about it.
Oh,
and then at the end, he said, you know, I mean, I'm paraphrasing because it's been a long time, but he said, you know, I think it's a good idea. We should go ahead and keep putting fluoride in the water. And with that, the gavel drops, and Owasa said, we're not hearing of it anymore. No one is allowed to come in here and speak to us about fluoride. We're done. We've wasted. The word wasted. The same guy who asked me if I was a Republican said very rudely, we have wasted a year on this. I don't want to hear any more about it.
Oh,
you're not welcome to come back.
2013.
That was in May of 2013. Mm-hmm. I have a very full life. I decided I'm done. I don't have time for this. I just can't keep pushing upstream. So I let go of it. Flash forward to February 2nd,
right.
2017.
Right. When everybody got interested.
And Florida was in the news. And I right. looked at my husband with a little sparkle in my
eye. Here we go again.
And said, fasten your seatbelt.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yes.
Wow. What a great wind up. and that's going to bring us to our next break. And then when we come back, we're gonna quickly talk about the actual damaging effects of fluoride in the water that are part of what you're talking about what other communities are doing and how many are doing it or not doing it. And then let's talk about, you know, kind of what the action steps are that are possible about elections, about people, not elections, excuse me, about appointments to the OWASA board, and about how people can get involved in this if they're interested. So there's just a few things to cover in the next segment. And here on the weekend, what is it? Say it with me. The water cooler.
Water cooler
at 97.9 WCHL, The Hill. Okay, we're back at the water cooler with now second place. Marcella Slade has the second place most interesting name. We'll get to that in a second. Daria and Jackie, and we're talking about water. We're still talking about water. So before we run out of time, we want to mention that you all are going to have a table at Carborough Day. And if people want to learn more about this, they can come see you at Carborough Day and just enjoy Carborough. Bring a bottle of clean water from, you know.
It's clean now.
From
there's
Dasani
no
or something.
Right
yeah. Or
now.
Fill up. Right. Yeah. Fill
your
up,
well water.
Fill up. Fill, you can come to my house and get water from my well. That's fine. And they can come talk to you at Carborough Day. Jackie, I want you to mention, if you would, one more time, the movie that you found of great interest on that everybody can just watch on YouTube.
It's called Fluoride Gate.
It's Fluoride Gate. I can't believe they didn't.
It's by Dr. David Kennedy. It was made in 2013, and it was Corey that sent out the email to alert all of us to watch it.
That's really interesting that they couldn't find a way to call it Watergate, but it kind of makes sense. People would misunderstand.
Is Zach Kennedy still alive?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he is.
Yes, that's a different.
And they interview
think that's a
lot
different
of,
Kennedy family,
scientists and
sure.
chemists who yeah. you know, they plead their case for not putting fluoride in, and every bit of it makes sense to me.
And there are communities around the country, in the U.S., there's almost no fluoride inserted into water supplies in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Western Europe.
In yes. Western Europe.
Only.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure Putin is doing this because, you know, he would, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't mean to equate OWASA with anything Putin does. Please don't misunderstand. But my issue with any of this, as I've told you, is the issue of consent.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
and believe me, if Putin thought that he wanted to do this, he would not bother asking the population mm-hmm. if they cared about it, wanted
here,
it
huh?
or didn't want it.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
So if I were to engage in your discussion here with OWASA, that would be the point where it would rub me the wrong way, whether I thought the science was credible on it. I'd have to learn a lot more. And in fact, what you're asking OWASA to do now is just that, is to hold right. some hearings and learn more about it out in public in front of and with along with the community before fluoridation is reintroduced to the water supply. Do they have a timeline for when they're expecting to reintroduce it?
September.
September.
Yes.
So you have, you know, between now and then to kind of make your argument before OWASA. There are seats on the OWASA board that will be expiring, right? The people appointed to these seats. I don't know who the people are. It doesn't matter. It's not about them particularly. When do those expire? Do they all expire at once, or?
I don't think so. I think they have different terms coming.
But they're
up.
This year.
Right.
They're at various
right.
times.
I think they're four.
And these seats on the OWASA board are appointed by the county commissioners in each of the townships, Chapel Hill and Carborough. Is anybody from, does the Hillsborough Town Board appoint, do you know?
No, they have their own water system.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, they do.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. They do. Okay. As we were talking about, there are cooperative agreements between Hillsborough and Durham so that they cover each other during shortages and in emergencies, as Durham did mm-hmm. in February, thank goodness. Um, So folks who are interested in this issue, feel strongly about this, like you do, can and should consider applying to be appointed to these to the OWASA board.
Right.
If they feel like this is an area where they want to pursue learning what the truth is about the condition of the water supply. And have a vote. I don't know if they would get on the board in time to have a vote about this, but even after the vote, they can still have a say in water safety overall, including this issue. If we've all learned anything in the last few months, I'll say, since, say, January 20th or so, it's that, as a wise woman, Jackie Gist, once said to me when I commented to her, "Oh, my God, it's 25 years later and you're still on the Board of Aldermen." Mm-hmm. And I said, "What have you learned?" When I returned after a similar amount of time to be covering the Board of Aldermen for the newspaper, I said, "So, you know, while I was away and 15 years went by or whatever, what have you learned in this time?" And she said, "Nothing is ever settled." That's what I've learned.
Oh, good.
You know?
She's right.
It's true.
It's wonderful.
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's probably the way it should be, because mm-hmm. things don't stay the same. Mm-hmm. Even knowledge and science and the basis for making decisions, if you have new information, you change your mind. We hope.
Yeah.
Well, we hope. It seems like that should be
true.
The way, but that's not the way this is going.
And not that's so
what
far.
I find disturbing.
Right.
They aren't even willing to listen. They're rolling their eyes when the folks get up there to talk to them. That is so disrespectful. And why? What's the fear of finding out the truth? I don't understand
right.
it. It baffles me.
Do any of them have? Do you know if any of them have investments in companies that sell fluoride additives?
Probably
I mean,
not,
I don't
but
know.
There's something with the UNC Dental School, because there have been a few meetings where they show up in large numbers.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but
I think the OWASA board's worried about rocking the boat with UNC.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, the thing is, dental students are very busy. They don't have time to go to community meetings.
Yeah, but they're showing up for this.
And it's like, I'm sure they just do not have time for this any more than any of us do, but probably even less time. And so, you know, one quote that has stood out to me throughout this process is by Pema Chodron. She says, "The truth you believe and cling to makes you unavailable to hear anything new."
Right.
And so that's sort of something that's always in the back of my mind. I'm not trying to change anyone's opinion about whether or not fluoride is toxic or not. If you believe that it's the best thing that's ever been introduced to humanity for their health and well-being, go ahead and feel that way.
Right, and put it in your water.
Put it in your water.
And leave it out of mind.
Don't
tell
everybody they have to do it. Because, you know, I just read the other day, 15% of the population, human population, is extremely sensitive to fluoride toxicity.
Now, do these people who are extremely sensitive to it and for whom it would be toxic, do they glow in the dark so you can easily tell who they are? Because otherwise it would seem like a problem.
It's a big problem.
Trial and error,
yes.
Right?
People who have kidney disease. I mean, even the Synthroid is the second most prescribed medication.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but that comes largely from fluoride.
Yeah,
right.
Ingestion.
I can easily understand that.
No, and the fact that OWASA said, you know, be careful, it's unsafe to drink, we've overfed, there was an overfeed of fluoride, means that they know how dangerous it is to us.
Right.
They were the ones that told us how dangerous it was.
Yeah. And Marcella has an amazing story about her kids in the school system and has been trying to get the school system to share information about the number of kids who were sick that day and the days following, and they're unwilling to share.
No.
There's something about the UNC Dental School that has kind of a stranglehold over all of
this.
And, there's a lot more I could get into about that I don't have time for, but it's really been interesting. I think all of us have had this experience, whether it's the media, newspapers, we've been having trouble getting their attention, or TV stations. And friends, I mean, I have good friends who are dentists, you know, or dental students who will come outright and attack me. I think we've all had friends who just attack our character and talk to us like we're complete you know, completely ignorant people.
Mm-hmm. Like the nutballs that you are, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Just very insulting. Instead of talking about the issues and saying, oh, you know, because I'm really open, if someone has some legitimate scientific paper where they can show me in a, you know, double-blind study with no slanting or you know, manipulation, that they can prove absolutely for a fact that fluoride is safe for us to be drinking in amounts that we cannot dictate because everybody drinks a different amount of water,
everybody
has a different size and that whole thing,
right.
I am open to reading it. I'd love to hear that it's okay because it would help me calm down a little bit.
Well, I think about it all the time. Every time I take a drink of water, every time I step in the pool, I think about this. Where does the burden of proof lie with OWASA? I mean, if it's harming us, if they're putting poison, and it is poison, it's a byproduct of fertilizer.
Neurotoxin.
They're putting it in our water. Where's the accountability?
Right. Right.
Well, ladies, I appreciate all of you digging into this as deep as you have and being as outspoken as you have been. I want everybody to watch Dr. Strangelove and take what they need from that movie. That's just the coolest name that knocked Marcella out of having the coolest name. I thank all of you for joining us here on the Water Cooler. I regret that we're out of time. I want everybody to go out to your table at Carrboro Day and just thank you for your interest in the topic, and keep working on it. Keep your minds open. Keep your hearts open.
Page, Fluoride Free Chapel Hill Carrboro.
There it is. Okay. And also keep on listening to 97.9 WCHL,
Thank
The
you.
Hill.
Thank you.